Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And off we go into hour number two of the Rob Brown Show right here on The Fan Upstate. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. This is The Fan Upstate. I am Rob Brown, sitting directly across on the other side of the metaphorical glass from the Sultan of Swag, the Professor of Perfection, the Wizard of Wave, the Great One Lonzo is here rolling with us this a.m. You want to be a part of the show? Easy ways to do it. The phone line is open, 844-326-3663, 844-FANFONE. That is also the text number, 844-326-3663. Text us your thoughts on the show. We got a couple of texts during the break about the NFL potentially reformatting the playoffs, where winning your division does not guarantee you a home game. It would be the teams with the most wins that get the home games. Winning the division simply gets you a ticket to the playoff, but not a guaranteed home game. We'll talk about that coming up in just a couple of minutes. Get into that a little bit deeper, because some of you have thoughts that you have texted to 844-326-3663. We also have our poll question of the day up right now that you can text your answer to, 844-326-3663. Here is the text question of the day. Football season ends in about 4 weeks. When that very sad day realizes itself in front of us, which sport do you want to see get more coverage on the show? Is it baseball, hockey, soccer, basketball, off-season football, or other? Here's how you vote. You text your answer to 844-326-3663, and you text to start your text. If you put it anywhere else in the text, it will not be recorded. Text baseball, hockey, soccer, basketball, other, and include the sport after the word other, or do you think we keep the show football-centric with off-season football? If so, text football. So text baseball, hockey, soccer, basketball, football, or other, and then the sport to 844-326-3663. Lonzo, out of the gate, we have six options, and we have a four-way tie already. We've had this poll out for about 30 minutes. We are sitting on 20 votes via the text line so far. The vote is tied between baseball, hockey, basketball, and other. And both of those others said professional wrestling. We know our people. We love our people. All right. So when football ends after the Super Bowl, what sport do you want to see the most coverage picked up on the show? Baseball, hockey, soccer, basketball, keep it with football, or other? Text your answer to 844-326-3663. At the end of the show, we will tabulate our answers.
So now, other could be like, what was that, car taekwondo or whatever that was?
We want to get some car taekwondo in here. Yeah, you got it. Man. By the way, and I, you know, it's funny, when we had that, it was car jujitsu.
Ah, my bad.
Yeah, it's all good.
Taekwondo, I think, is more about takedowns. Jiu-jitsu is more about submissions. Okay.
It was car jujitsu. Two people start, one in the driver's seat, one in the passenger seat. I got to assume passenger seat's like having home field advantage, right?
Yeah, because the steering wheel's not.
Yeah. Got to assume passenger seat. If you're in the driver's seat, I got to assume the strategy is like straight up, straight to the back seat, right? Like, I got to get it in the back seat, which is a weird sentence to say, and I regret saying it out loud on the radio.
Something that, you know, people have been saying forever.
Yeah,
you know.
For sure. For sure. I'm going to say you got to go straight to the back seat. You got to get the action on in the back seat, right? That's where you want to have
the action.
Unless
you drive like a Miata or something.
We had the, after we talked about that, what, I think last year, early last year, we were reached out to, hilariously, I don't know how it made the round. Apparently the segment made the rounds on social media, because we were reached out to by the guy who owns the promotion that runs car jujitsu. It's the same promotion runs, the professional mini golf league.
Well, we are on Spotify. We're on all kinds of things. And if it's in the title, or if it's, which I'm sure I put it in the title, if someone looked it up, it would have popped up.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that guy was just searching his own, his own pub, which is great. You should. But it made the rounds, and I got a call or an email from the guy who runs that league. And he's like, yo, if you want the play-by-play guy on, I can have him on. And we couldn't arrange a date at the time because they were in season. I might circle back around. I don't know what the car jujitsu season is, but we might reach out and have that dude on. Out of sheer morbid curiosity and nothing else.
I think that should be the show every day after football season, is something weird in sports like that.
I'm down for it. I'm down for it. All right, it is 7:07 in the a.m. portion of the day here in the worst time zone, the Eastern time zone, which means, ladies and gentlemen, you got like less than 53 minutes till you got to get to the office. Then you got like 58 minutes till you take that first break to walk down the hallway, go to the break room, stand around the water cooler, and talk sports with your coworkers. And if you're going to do that, you're going to need this. Good clip, bad timing. That's how it was. It
depends on how you look at it.
That's also true. Good timing for me.
Yeah.
Good timing for me. I do love the concept that at some point, the person who put that together just threw a fart sound in there. It's like, watch this.
We know the person who put it together, and the fact that he's let me get away with doing what I've been doing for years now. Which usually he does not let you get away with that. So, I mean,
it's pretty good. It's pretty fun, pretty funny shtick. It is a water cooler cheat sheet, top three sports stories that you need to know before you get to the office and start talking sports with your friends, family, or coworkers. When you do, this is what you'll be talking about. Let us jump in with item numero uno. Don't have to spend a ton of time on this, because while the massive decision has been reached, it is a decision the results of which we will not see until the end of 2025, but a federal judge has denied NASCAR's motion to dismiss an antitrust lawsuit filed against the stock car series by Michael Jordan's 2311 Racing and Front Row Motorsports. NASCAR asked that the antitrust suit be thrown out. They also asked that both parties named in the lawsuit, that would be 2311/Front Row and NASCAR and their president, or I should say presidents, the France family, put up a bond before the lawsuit starts. And the bond would transfer from the losing party to the winning party to cover attorney fees, et cetera, et cetera. Both of those motions were denied by U.S. District Judge Kenneth Bell of the Western District of North Carolina. Both of those motions were denied on Saturday. NASCAR and the teams that compete in the Top Cup Series operate with a franchise system implemented in 2016 in which 36 cars have charters that guarantee them a spot in the field at every race. There are also four open spots earmarked for the 40-car field every week. The two teams banded together in negotiations on an improved charter system in an often contentious battle with NASCAR for the last 2 years. Back in September, NASCAR presented the teams with a take-it-or-leave-it offer that had to be signed just 48 hours before the start of the playoffs. There were only two teams out of 15 who refused to sign the new charter, 2311 and Front Row. They then teamed up to sue NASCAR and named Chairman Jim France by name in the lawsuit. They are arguing that as the only stock car entity in the United States, NASCAR has a monopoly and the teams are not getting their fair share of the pie. Both organizations maintained that they would still compete as open cars, but convinced Bell last month to give them chartered status for the season by arguing they would suffer irreparable harm as open cars. Amongst their claims was that 2311 driver Tyler Reddick, last year's regular season champ, would contractually become an immediate free agent if the team was not guaranteed a charter for the year. NASCAR argued Wednesday that it needs the money earmarked because it would be redistributed to the charter teams if 23 and Front Row were to lose their lawsuit. Jeffrey Kessler is the one overseeing the suit on behalf of 2311 and Front Row. He argued that NASCAR has made no such promise to redistribute the funds to other teams. Kessler said NASCAR told teams it was up to their discretion how they would use the money and did not rule out spending some of that money on their own legal fees. So that lawsuit will go in front of a judge, but it will not go in front of that judge until the conclusion of the 2025 NASCAR season, a season in which 2311 and Front Row will both have a charter to race every week. So we'll see how that shapes up. Let's get to item number two. Eric Staal has become the fourth player to have his number retired by the Carolina Hurricanes when his number 12 was raised at the Lenovo Center prior to the team's 3-2 overtime loss to the Ducks. Yesterday, the Ontario, Canada native and a former number 2 draft pick spent 12 of his 18 NHL seasons with Carolina, in which he recorded 455 goals, 608 assists, over 1,365 career games. He served as the Canes' captain from 09 to 16 and appeared in six NHL All-Star games, winning MVP honors in 2008. The 40-year-old retired back in July. He signed a one-day contract to retire a Hurricane. He joins Rod Brind'Amour, Ron Francis, and Glenn Wesley as the four players in the Hurricanes' Ring of Honor with their jerseys hanging atop the rafters. During his time with the Canes, he set several franchise records after the team relocated from Hartford, Connecticut in 1997. He has the records currently for goals scored, assists, points, games played, power play goals, power play points, and hat trick. Staal also saw the franchise carve its place in history after winning a Stanley Cup back in 2006, which he called the highlight of his career. Staal was joined for the ceremony by his family, including his brothers Jordan, who is the current C for the Canes, his brother Mark, a former NHL defenseman, and others. Current Hurricane players took place in the festivities from the bench. Several former teammates were also there when the 12 went up into the rafters. Congratulations to Eric Staal, just the fourth player in Hurricanes history to have the number be raised. And finally, let's get to item number three. Five of your six NFL wild card winners have been determined. Number six will be determined this evening. The Houston Texans moved on past the, San Diego again, Los Angeles Chargers, 32-12, your final. Justin Herbert threw four picks in this game. He threw three all season. That's unbelievable. I mean, that's literally unbelievable. The Chargers had 50 total rushing yards in this game. They surrendered 168 to the Texans. C.J. Stroud went 22 of 33 for 282 and a touch in that one. The Ravens are moving on with a 28-14 win over the Steelers. Lamar Jackson had 175 passing yards and two touchdowns, but he also added 81 on the ground to Derrick Henry's 186. The Ravens had a team season high 299 rushing yards in this one. Derrick Henry did score twice. The Ravens are moving on. The Bills are moving on after demolishing the Denver Broncos. It was 10-7 at the half, but it was all Buffalo as they shut out the Broncos in the final three quarters. Josh Allen, 272 passing yards and a pair of touchdowns, also rushed for 46. James Cook, 120 yards on the ground. Buffalo moves on. So do the Philadelphia Eagles with a 22-10 win over the Green Bay Packers. Jalen Hurts just 131 through the air, did throw for two touchdowns. It was Saquon Barkley, 25 carries, a buck 19, and could have added about another 60 on as he broke away what would have been a 76-yard touchdown run, but instead picked up the first down, went to the ground, and decided not to run it in, saying basically, yo, look, something could have gone bad, right? They could have stripped me as I ran. I could have popped a hammy, and that would have taken me out. I think at the end of the day, Saquon was just trying to be a classy dude and not run it up. So 119 could have been closer to like 160. The Commanders are in an unfortunate fumble turnover, and then the Commanders were able to get down into field goal range to knock through a walk-off doink. 23-20 is your final. Jaden Daniels, 268 passing yards and two touchdowns. Also ran for 36 as well. Baker Mayfield, not the day he wanted. A buck 85 and two touchdowns, but 23 rushing yards and a couple of fumbles, one which was lost. So when it's all said and done, it shapes up this way for the divisional round next weekend. The one seed in the AFC, the Kansas City Chiefs, will welcome the four-seeded Houston Texans. The Bills are the two-seed. They will host the three-seed Ravens. Over in the NFC, the Lions got the bye after winning the NFC North. They will welcome Jaden Daniels and the Commanders up to Detroit. The Eagles moved on with a win over the Packers. They await the winner of tonight's matchup between the Rams and the Vikings, the winners of those two games, obviously on to the AFC and NFC championship games, which will take place on January 26th. There's your water cooler cheat sheet. Let's take a break. When we come back here in just a minute, let's get some college football. We got our natty set. It is the Ohio State University Buckeyes taking on the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. How did they get here? I've got some thoughts. I'll share them when we come back. Rob Lonzo and you, the Rob Brown Show, the Fan Upstate.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The Buckeyes of Ohio State, the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame, on to your college football national championship 1 week from this evening. Let's go back and take a look at our two semifinal games and determine exactly how it is that we ended up here with these two particular teams finding their way into the biggest dance of them all. We start with the first of the two semifinal games. Notre Dame, the Fighting Irish, they knock off Penn State 27-24. This game, of course, was very contentious, but when it came down to it, there was a big mistake from Drew Aller. Notre Dame scored with 4.5 minutes left to play in the fourth quarter to tie it up at 24-24, and it felt like there was plenty of time for Penn State to get the ball back, to go on an extended drive, and to preferably kick a walk-off field goal or maybe score a touchdown and put all the pressure on Notre Dame with not much time left. Instead, what happened was Drew Aller threw a very misguided interception. Notre Dame sent out former South Carolina Gamecock Mitch Jeter after a 7-play, 19-yard drive. He drilled a 41-yard field goal, and the Irish walk it off 27-24 instead. What went wrong for Penn State? Told you that last week after it went wrong. I went back and I rewatched a large chunk of this game. And one thing that you will notice is in the first half of this game, where Notre Dame was flirting with 100 yards of offense, was very simple. Penn State was bringing dudes. Penn State was bringing dudes. They were bringing exotic blitzes. They were bringing five. They were bringing six. They were bringing dudes, and they were beating Notre Dame at the point of attack. What went wrong in the second half for Penn State? They stopped. I went back and watched the second half. Penn State, more often than they were not, in the second half of the College Football National Championship playoff semifinals, Penn State was bringing four. Occasionally they would bring five, but it wasn't like a disguised or overly aggressive five. I think in the second half, I watched every play. I did not keep track. And I didn't realize that I should have until it was time to go to Betty Bye last night, and I didn't get a chance to finish it. But I believe Penn State only brought a non-linebacker blitz like twice in the entire second half against Notre Dame. That's one of the things they were killing the Irish with. It's one of the things they've killed everybody with in these playoffs, was bringing blitzes from different spots in the second and third levels. And against Notre Dame in the second half, if they brought an extra guy, which was rare, it was usually the middle or the strong side linebacker. Very rarely did they go with a weak side backer. Very rarely did they come off the edge with a secondary member. And usually when they did, it was coming from the weak side, and Notre Dame was routinely running to the strong side of the field. So not only were they rarely bringing the extra blitzes, but when they did, they were pretty much telling Notre Dame, if you run to the strong side, yeah, it's going to be a better matchup, but if we're bringing a blitz, we're bringing from the weak side. We're going to try to get to the quarterback with one fewer blocker on that side, and it just did not go the way I think that Penn State thought it was going to. Here's what I'm interested with Notre Dame and why I will tell you right now, and it's early, and I want to say very clearly, reserved a right to change my opinion between here and Monday. But I'm picking the Buckeyes out of the gate, and I'll tell you why. Because of what Ohio State can do on defense, and I think you saw them do that in their college football semifinal, a 28-14 win over Texas. And I'm coming for you in just a minute, Steve Sarkisian. You hang tight. But what did Ohio State do? Lonzo, you guys own the edge. I mean, own the edge. You were bringing guys off the edge. You are maintaining the edge. There was no spot where Quinn Ewers or Arch Manning were going to be allowed to get to the edge. There was no point where the two Texas running backs, Blue and Weissner, there was no spot where you guys were going to allow them to bounce it off the edge and get wide. And that ended up being the death blow for Texas. Because here's the ball. 7 inches from tying up the game at 21 all late in the fourth quarter. They run it one time up the middle. Ohio State gets the stop. What do they do the second play? They hand it off. They don't hand it. They pitch it off the end. They try to beat Ohio State laterally. And respectfully, very few teams are going to accomplish that. Very few guys are going to be able to get the edge on Ohio State. So what Ohio State did was set the edge, funnel Texas up the middle, and Texas was never comfortable with it. Well, guess what? Riley Leonard is a guy that is not going to get the edge. And while I understand that Notre Dame has an absolute dude in Jeremiah Love, Jeremiah Love is a guy that wants to run to contact, and I respect that. He wants to run through contact. And, oh, by the way, is still dealing with that dinged-up knee, which, I mean, I appreciate it. They asked him, they're like, yo, bro, that knee's not a hundy, but you're going to go out there and play. And he said, yo, it's football. I'm going to win. And respect for that, for the record. Respect for that. But if your knee ain't 100%, you can't run 100%. You don't have full speed, which means that Notre Dame doesn't become a threat off the edge. If I'm Ryan Day, if I'm Notre Dame, great one, I'm making Riley Leonard beat us with his arm. I prove it to me. I am bringing extra dudes, just like Penn State did, and it worked for one half. I am bringing extra dudes. I am hanging on to the middle. I am locking down dudes on the outside. And I'm saying, if you beat us, it is going to be because Riley Leonard beats us throwing the football. And I'm willing to, if I am Ohio State, based on what I've seen so far, I'm willing to try to get into a shootout with Notre Dame if Riley Leonard can do that. But I am owning the outside pass routes. I am setting the edge. I am not letting Love beat us wide. I am taking away the run game. And I'm saying if Riley Leonard's going to beat us, he's going to beat us with his arm. And he's going to put himself into the college football history books by having a game. And here's the thing. With all the respect in the world to Notre Dame and what they've accomplished to get here, I don't think they got that dog in him. I don't think that's a game plan that they can succeed with. So unless they just physically beat Ohio State, which no one else in these playoffs has come even close to doing, and that includes a bigger, stronger team in Texas, unless they beat, and when I say beat, I don't mean get more points. I mean beat Ohio State, which I don't think they're going to do. I like the Buckeyes in this game early, Lonzo.
The thing is, that game Friday was uncomfortably close for a really long time. But it's what you said. I mean, it is basically we're just slowly beating them down, and they did. And in the end, they won the game. I'm still a little nervous about it, but of course, I think the Buckeyes are going to win. Maybe because of their defense, because their defense is pretty much the reason why they won Friday.
Yeah, I would agree.
Most teams get down on what, the 1 yard line or less. They're going to get in the end zone or at least come away with a field goal. And it looked like, and then that did not happen thanks to what Jack Sawyer was able to do. Replayed like 10,000 times with a bunch of different music, by the way, which is amazing. But it was uncomfortably close going into the fourth quarter.
Listen, Texas is a good team, right? Like I think a lot of people, and this is, remember what I said earlier in the show, don't take the best performance and think that's what a team is. Just like you shouldn't take the worst performance and think that's what a team is.
I was thinking, great, Chip Kelly has decided we're just going to try to run up the middle the entire game. There were times when it's like, please don't do that. Please don't. Oh, man, why'd they do that again? I know you do that to set up things later, but it just was not working. And that's what happened in Michigan. And that's what had me worried.
I think even if the run game isn't working, you have to at least stick with it. And you have to at least stick with it because when you abandon the run game,
well, there was also,
the job gets easier for the defense.
There's also, you don't punch a guy no matter what he says.
Mm-hmm.
There were a couple penalties that really hurt Ohio State.
I agree. You shot yourself in the foot a couple of times, and that is something that I think it's fair to be concerned about if you're a Buckeye, right? Because I will give Marcus Freeman one thing about the Irish. It's a disciplined football team. They don't make a ton of mistakes. They don't get a ton of penalties. They had a couple of false starts that kind of screwed them up a little bit against Penn State. But it's not a heavily penalized team. It's not a team that gets out of its head much. And Ohio State, I'm not saying they are, but they certainly looked like it against Texas.
Yeah, did Henderson make up for the mistake by his long touchdown run?
Well, I mean, look, I think what you've got to dial in on,
because I don't think he did. You just can't be punching a guy. I mean, a couple penalties that hurt Ohio State and could have led to a loss were really costly and at the wrong time.
I think you've got to dial in on. And on Saturday on Bet for the Cycle, which airs noon to 4 on the BetQL Network, on Saturday I handed flowers to Chip Kelly. Because as frustrating as it felt in certain times, I'll tell you what, running the ball, even if the run's not working as well as you'd like it to, and against Texas, which Texas's entire brand is what? We got big, beefy boys, big, meaty men slapping meat across the line, both sides of the football. You still have to run the ball, and you have to run the ball because when you get to the point that you show Texas or Notre Dame or anybody else that their four defensive linemen can be held at bay, that their defensive line can kind of pull off a little bit, or your linebackers can drop back because your defensive linemen are stuck. The moment you stop running the ball and demanding linebackers stay honest is the moment that they can put an extra two into pass coverage. Now your quarterback's life gets tougher. You have got to show them that, hey, we're going to keep trying to keep them honest. What happened against Michigan was you didn't try anything else. In this one, at least you were working the ball around a little bit. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back here in a minute. We'll talk a little more national championship, give you our early projections and previews and prognostications on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show, back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate talking about the college football national championship 1 week from this evening, ladies and gentlemen. We don't need to do a whole segment on it. But college football, I, on behalf of the Fan Upstate, on behalf of the Armada, on behalf of college football fans everywhere, and perhaps most importantly, on behalf of everyone who has to be awake at 3:30 on Tuesday, I am begging you, on bended knee, begging you, will you make me the happiest college fan on planet Earth? Will you move this game to Saturday nights from now on, please? Like, I know the answer is no, and I know we're wasting our breath and time, but like, I gotta ask. Can you please move this game to Saturday? I'm begging you to please move this game to Saturday. I can't, as the expression goes. I just can't.
Not going to happen, especially not this year. And if you were going to Atlanta, look up those ticket prices. It's like a couple $1,000s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a little pricey.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm guessing you, if it were your team in Atlanta, would take out a loan or whatever to go.
I can't say no to that.
So if my wife and I were to go, it would cost us around $4,000, probably more. And I just, dude, that's too much money.
I mean, again, and I've said this before, every year at the beginning of the NFL season, we end up getting an email or a text or a call from somebody that goes, Rob, these NFL ticket prices are absolutely ridiculous. I can't afford to take my family of blank number of people to go see an NFL game. And every year we have the same conversation, which is they don't care. They don't care. The expression I have used for years is they don't care whose butts are in seats. They care that butts are in seats. The same is true for college football, though I would say that hurts college more than it hurts the pros, because college football does not, or at least should not, promote itself as come watch the best football players on earth play the best version of football. That's the NFL. Where college wins is look at the pride and the tradition and the pageantry and the pageantry of the whole thing. And, you know, when you look at the stadium and you know that it's a bunch of uptight socialites that have filled in the bleachers there, kind of takes away from the atmosphere a little bit. But we'll put that aside for just a minute.
Looks like the cheapest is about $1,500.
That checks out. And that's probably sitting up top, if I had to guess.
It is.
In a big-ass stadium that's sitting up top. I think that...
most expensive looks like $3,663.
$3,663. Yeah, I assumed. I mean, honestly, to sit like... on the field, that's not bad. That's bad. It's not as bad as I thought it was going to be. And especially not as bad as I thought it was going to be when you do have two of the biggest brands in college football slugging it out, right? Like, those tickets go way down if we'd had a dark horse make it all the way up. But to have two of the biggest brands in college football slugging it out, that makes sense.
I was wrong. The most expensive tickets are in the 4,000s for 50-yard line, but I think those are already gone.
Oh, I'm sure. All right, so... Texter said, Lonzo is right to be concerned. Notre Dame isn't going to knock the Buckeyes around, but if they make a mistake, the Irish will pounce. That's how Freeman got them this far. I am going to both agree and disagree, Texter. I agree. And this, how did I describe the Notre Dame Fighting Irish in the last segment? A well-disciplined team. A team that doesn't make a ton of mistakes, a team that doesn't shoot themselves in the foot very often, a team that does not commit a bunch of penalties in big-time situations, that's not them. And that is the Marcus Freeman effect. I agree with you wholeheartedly. What I'm also going to say is I don't believe that that is the reason that Marcus Freeman has this team where Marcus Freeman has this team. I believe that... Marcus Freeman has this team here because it's a good football team. It's a good football team. They got dogs. They got players. They got guys. We talked about Jeremiah Love. We've talked about Riley Leonard, who I think has been largely unappreciated. Like, this is a good football team. But I do not think they have the horses Ohio State has. I don't think they got the dogs Ohio State has. I am leaning on a couple of things. Number one, and this is something that I said concerned me to some degree about Penn State. It definitely concerns me quite a bit against Ohio State. As we have said a number of times, that Will Howard, playoff Will Howard's a different dude. That dude's playing on a different level. And when he started finding guys like Jeremiah, when he started finding his guys, they started looking like a different team. Notre Dame plays man-to-man press coverage on the outside at an almost 60% clip. Like, 6 out of 10 snaps, Notre Dame's in a press man-to-man on the outside. I'll tell you this right now. So based on what we've seen out of the Cats so far, you're going to give me Jeremiah Smith on the outside man-to-man, I'll take him over just about any defensive back in the damn country.
Well, they took him away last game, so they're probably going to try to do that again.
For sure, but
they're making a mistake. If you can take him away, you take him away.
I would agree, but this is why I love to point out, my favorite illustration of this for years, I think Lamar Jackson did this for Baltimore this weekend. My favorite illustration of what I'm about to tell you is Reggie Bush. There are some guys that you taking them away is them helping the team. There was a play, What game was it? The Ash and Janty, the Boise State game against Penn State. There was a play that Boise State scored on that Ashton Janty was nowhere near the football. But I was able to point out and go, that doesn't show up on the stat sheet, but it should. We should have a stat in football called distraction, right? Like, there should be a number of times you removed a guy from the field just by being there. There was a play where Ashton Janty was lined up as a traditional halfback, quarterback under center. Quarterback takes the snap. He feigns left and bootlegs right. Ashton Janty didn't even take a fake handoff. He just sprinted left. And when he took off to the left, both linebackers on that side of the field went with him. Both of them just took off running, right? And what ended up happening was a cutback to the inside because there was no linebacker there anymore. What Ashton Janty did on that play does not show up on a score sheet. But he's the reason that that play was successful. If Jeremiah Smith gets taken away, though, it's not because there's a cornerback lined up on him. It's because they've rolled coverage to his side. And if you roll coverage to his side, what it means is the other side of the football field has got one less guy or less attention being paid to it, and that is Will Howard and where he feasted last time.
Carnell Tate got quite a few passes.
Correct.
And Egbuka. I mean, people forget that those two guys, really, really good.
Correct. There are other dudes there. Jeremiah Smith had a couple of breakout games in rounds ones and twos. Against Tennessee and against Oregon. Breakout games, for sure. And obviously, by the time he got to game three, he's not a shock anymore. And so you are correct. What ended up happening there was in the last game, you had Texas rolling coverage to Jeremiah. And when they rolled coverage to Jeremiah Smith, the back half of the football field opened up. And while I like and I give a ton of credit to what Will Howard is doing, there is some element of importance of let's get him the easy ones, right? Like, let's open the field up. Let's get him the easy passes to knock down. And so what was happening was, in rolling the coverage over to whatever side four was on, you ended up either having one fewer dude, and what is the goal of an offense? To get the ball where I got more dudes than you got dudes. A play in football, a play is drawn up for the purpose of how do we put the ball in a way, in a place, in a way that we dictate having more dudes than they got dudes. Well, if they're taking four away from you on the right side, then you run something on the backside that takes advantage of the lack of attention. And that's what Will Howard took advantage of in that game against Texas. I do think it is important to point out, Texas is a damn good football team. Of course it was a close game. What Ohio State did against Oregon will be the anomaly, not the norm. But they figured out what Texas was giving them, and they took advantage. This is why Chip Kelly gets the flowers, even if it wasn't the 42-point explosion everybody thought it was going to be. He gets the flowers because he said, all right, this is what Texas is doing. They made the adjustment, and he trusts Will Howard to make the calls. And Will Howard's been making the right decision more often than not. I agree with what you said, Texter. If Ohio State makes mistakes, Notre Dame will pounce on those mistakes. Absolutely and for sure. Here's the thing Chip Kelly has done. The offensive playbook has been opened up. It's not massively complicated. It's not a wildly complicated set of plans. It's not a wildly complicated set of concepts. It is, all right, you're taking four away. We're going to the backside. All right, you were dropping extra men into coverage to stop Will Howard from beating you up. Great. We will still run with the two All-American running backs we have. Like, Chip Kelly is doing things the right way. Going deeper in the bag than he was against Michigan, but not having to run mad scientist-style offense. Where is Texas doing? They're rolling their coverage to four. Great. Hey, Will, your guy's on the other side. I want you to look at four, make them roll over that way, turn the head, look back the other direction, somebody's going to be there. Find them. Hey, guys, if they drop an extra man into coverage so that they can cover up Jeremiah but not leave any open gaps in the backside of the zone, great, we're going to run it right down their teeth. until they stop doing that, until they give us that back. That's what Ohio State did in all of the games, all three games they have played so far to get to the Natty. And I think they do it again. Early prediction, I reserve the right to change it. But right now, I've talked myself into the Ohio State horse chestnuts as your national champion. If they handed out national championships for reading sports flashes, Lonzo would be a dynasty.
Yeah. Five of the six wildcard games have been determined in the NFL. The Houston Texans are moving on after knocking off the Chargers 32-12. Justin Herbert tossed four interceptions, while C.J. Stroud had 262 passing yards. The Ravens move on with a 28-14 win over the Steelers after rushing for 299 team yards. The Bills dominated the Broncos 31-7. The Packers' season is over after a 22-10 loss to the Eagles, in which Saquon Barkley rushed for 119 yards. And the Commanders finished off Tampa Bay 23-20 with a walk-off field goal doink that went through. Final game is tonight when the Rams face the Vikings in Arizona. Carolina Hurricanes retired the number 12 worn by former player Kane Eric Stahl last night, which is pretty cool. Tune in tonight at 6:30 as Furman Paladins take on the Wofford Terriers. It's Furman versus Wofford right here on your home for Furman Paladins basketball. It is The Fan Upstate.